If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And who is this, Chris?
Tame Impala.
All right. I like that one.
Solitude is bliss.
All right. Welcome back to our third hour here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, cranking out 50,000 watts across the Midwest. A little overcast today, but nice and cool. Not very much humidity, so if you're driving around taking the kids to games, or maybe you're shopping for a Father's Day present, hint, hint, to my kids who don't listen to me on the radio. They don't care what I do. When I was in television, they would come to the studio a couple of times a year, and then after that, they were like, no, we know what you do. It's no big deal anymore. And they've been to the radio station once, and they're like, yeah, you just kind of sit there with headphones on. We're not interested. So if you're not interested, kids, then go get some Father's Day shopping done. This is Sports Sunday. As I said, my name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Royals last night fell 2-1, or rather 2-0 to the White Sox, shut down by Lucas Giolito, 11 strikeouts over 7 2/3 innings. He has been rocking and rolling. Kind of wasted a good performance by Brad Keller, who went 8 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, both coming on a home run, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. So Brad Keller drops to 3-8. This afternoon, 1:15, Kauffman Stadium, Reynaldo Lopez against Glenn Sparkman. First pitch at 1:15. We will have baseball tonight for you at noon. Right now, we'll talk some NHL playoffs and the Stanley Cup with Pete Blackburn from CBSSports.com. Pete, how are you on this Sunday morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I was reading through some of your stuff, and I went all the way down to your guide for people who are new to hockey. And I'm not new to hockey, but there are some things that you have to make sure that you say correctly. Like, for instance, in my case, I have always said Stanley Cup Finals, plural. But I guess it's Stanley Cup Final. Is that right?
It's correct, yeah, the final series. It's only it's singular, so a lot of people get that wrong. It's final, not finals.
Okay. I just thought that was funny because, you know, years ago I covered the old Kansas City Blades, and so I'm a hockey fan who knows just enough to be dangerous, but I'm not by any means an expert. I can't name tons of players, but I love the sport. So that guide was pretty handy for me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, I've seen some things on Twitter this morning. I think St. Louis, which is hosting Game 6 tonight, Blues with a chance to win on home ice, and I just heard the report at the top of the hour, that would be the first team to win the Stanley Cup on home ice since the 2015 Chicago Blackhawks. That seems like an odd thing, that it hasn't happened more.
Yeah, I think whoever did the read, if it was you, somebody said 2013 Blackhawks.
Or 2013.
As a Bruins fan, that is very incorrect because I had to watch them win on Boston home ice. So that was a little triggering.
Well, that was not me reading it, so you can blame the national sports guys for that one. It was not me. I can say some dumb things, but I try not to be factually inaccurate most of the time. Well, I think St. Louis is kind of taken on the Toronto Raptors atmosphere, because I've seen photos on Twitter this morning. They're erecting huge screens in downtown St. Louis outside the arena, and they want the inside packed, which it will be. It'll be a sellout, but they want downtown St. Louis rocking and rolling tonight for this game. And it looks, I'm a Kansas City guy, but I think that would be an awesome place to be tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm a Bruins fan, so I'm hoping it goes 7. But I do think that, you know, the city would go absolutely nuts. And to see them win, the Blues win on home ice would be, you know, I always think it's cool when a team wins on home ice. And especially the Blues haven't done it in their franchise history. It's a long-suffering, loyal fan base. And, you know, the Gloria performance would be all time. So I think it would be a very, very cool scene inside and outside the arena.
Well, I saw another clip on Twitter this morning. It was some random neighborhood in St. Louis, and there's a fire truck coming down the street, and didn't have sirens on. There was no emergency, but as the fire truck got closer, you could hear the firefighters were cranking Gloria out. I don't know what speakers the fire truck has, but they were cranking Gloria driving through the middle of this neighborhood.
Yeah, so Gloria's been a really cool part of the Stanley Cup playoff run for the Blues, and I think that, you know, if you're a neutral fan in this series, you're probably not rooting for the Bruins, one, because they're from Boston, and everybody hates how much Boston wins. And so, I also think that a good portion of the Blues, people are on the Blues bandwagon just because of Gloria, and you know, they have some cool stories. And so I think that there's more of a human interest element there.
Yeah, they haven't played for the Stanley Cup final. They haven't been in the Stanley Cup final since 1970. And I have some good friends around here. Paul McGannon, if you're listening, shout out to you. They're huge Blues fans. And I'm neutral, but I'll buy into it. And my kids had to pick a hockey team when they were younger, and so they wanted a couple of Blues jerseys. So I'll buy into that. But if it goes seven games, it goes seven games. I'm fine with that too. I think the Stanley Cup final is, I don't want to say it's the greatest playoffs in all of sports, but it is. Gosh, if it's not the most exciting, good gravy. It's awesome every night. It's high speed. It's high power. It's big hits, and you got these guys who look like linebackers on skates who move like ballerinas. It's just the fury of all of it is just, it's awesome, and it's just fantastic.
It absolutely is, and so I do think that it's the best playoffs in all of sports, and so I'm a little biased because I'm a huge hockey fan, but. And, you cannot beat the intensity of a Stanley Cup playoff game. And so to see it go seven would be great. I mean, game seven of a Stanley Cup final, it's hard to beat. So I think at this point in time, the hockey fans are just hoping that the referees stay out of the way. So,
yes.
That's been an issue for them throughout these playoff runs. You don't want to see the officiating become the story, but I do think that a game seven would be a treat.
Well, speaking of the referee calls, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I'm sure you saw it this week after the last game in which the Blues got away with some questionable plays, including tripping a player backwards, which everybody watching, I mean, me not being an expert, I thought, well, that doesn't look legal. The guy went backwards on his head, and he was cut back at the knees. They didn't call it. The Blues score. And the headline in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the big, broad headline with a huge picture, said, "What a trip." And that all of a sudden the newspaper's in on the troll job.
Right, yeah. I mean, as somebody who loves the art of the troll, I had to respect that. It was a really great headline. And, the only issue that I took with that is that they suggested that there was some embellishment in the caption of that photo on that front page. And, there's been some talk that Noel Achari embellished on that play, and I just think that's ridiculous. So to watch that play, you know that he was tripped, and it was an egregious call.
We're speaking with Pete Blackburn, CBSSports.com, covers the National Hockey League. A lot of folks in Kansas City are watching these games. And just to back up that point, Pete, the ratings for, I can't remember if it was Game 3 or Game 4, they published the highest-rated cities in the United States for the Stanley Cup Finals. And obviously St. Louis and Boston were 1 and 2. Providence, I think, was 3. Buffalo was 4, and Kansas City was 5. Folks here in Kansas City are watching the NHL Stanley Cup Final. It's the number 5 rated market in the United States.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And, I'd like to see Kansas City get a team at some point. I think that they could support one there. And so, obviously they're interested here with the Blues in it. So, I don't think it was necessarily the matchup that the NHL wanted in terms of ratings and sort of interest. But it's proven to be a good cup final between two good teams, and there's definitely interest there.
Okay, so for your Bruins, we talked about the bad calls. We had the tripping call. There was also the headshot that wasn't called, and the player, Berbashev. Every time I hear his name, I want to say Barbasol, but it's Berbashev. But Berbashev is suspended for this game, and he is an important player for the Blues. And I know the Bruins coach was very upset after that last game, and this is, I guess, a little consolation, and that they move on and try to put it out of their heads, because this is do or die tonight.
Yeah, Barbashev has been pretty big for them, and we saw what happened when Oscar Sundquist was suspended earlier in the series. Their fourth line for the Blues is really good, and they've been clicking. So to lose Barbashev is a pretty significant loss. I do think that getting Robert Thomas, who has just announced that he's going to be back in the lineup, getting Robert Thomas back in the lineup is really big, because he's a very talented young player, and he's played well throughout these playoffs. So losing Barbashev hurts, but it's lessened by the return of Thomas.
Well, I'm sure Bruins fans were happy to see Chara back on the ice. And again, if you don't follow the game closely, Chara's a huge player for the Bruins, and he got cracked in the face and broken jaw, and it's wired shut. And I saw the video of practice. I don't know if it was the next day or 2 days later, the skate around. And he's out there. He can't say anything, and he has a press conference in which he can't talk. He has to write down his answers, and I'm amazed. You know, we look at other sports. I don't know what's wrong with, you know, Kevin Durant and why he's out, but to go back out on the ice in a game in which you're probably going to get hit in the face with a broken jaw, I was dumbfounded that he was able to do that.
Yeah, and his return, I was in the building for Game 5, and the ovation that he got before that game was amazing. I mean, it was probably the loudest that I've heard the Garden ever get, and you know, his return was pretty great, and you know, he looked pretty good in that return, and he skated more than I expected him to. He got I think it was 16 minutes of ice time, which is more than I expected. So you know, the fact that he's even playing is ridiculous. It's insane, but you know, it's the playoffs. It's hard to keep a guy like Chara out.
And that seems, you know, when you see these guys after the game, and since we don't have an NHL team, we have a minor league team, the Mavericks, which is really good. When you see these guys after the game, every one of them, bruises, cuts on their faces, they've just been beaten, and it's every single night, and it's just, it's relentless, which I think adds to the entertainment value. It's just these guys are just laying it all on the line, especially considering how long the season is and how long the playoffs are.
Right, and I think a big strength of the Blues has been their ability to grind other teams down. We saw it in the Sharks series.
Oh, yeah.
Where by the end of that series, the Sharks are missing a bunch of key players, and I think you're seeing it here too in this Bruins series. They're really taking a toll on the Bruins roster, and you know, after every playoff run, there's always you know, news that comes out on breakdown day that guys were playing injured, and you know, there's all these reveals. And I think that's going to be the same here. I expect a bunch of Bruins players are going to come out with injuries once the season is done, and we'll hear about that. And I'm sure that there's some on the Blues side as well.
All right, we're talking with Pete Blackburn, CBSSports.com. We're talking about the Stanley Cup Final, Game 6 tonight in St. Louis. The Blues win, and they take the series. If they lose, it goes back to Boston for a Game 7. You know, kind of looking at it at the game tonight, it's do or die. For you, what do you want to see from the Bruins, especially early, that indicates that they've got what it takes to get this to a Game 7?
Well, they got to score some goals. That's been an issue for this team over the past couple of games, and especially you want to see that scoring from their top six. Their top six has not been good enough by any means in this series. You know, that top line of Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak have 0 points at 5-on-5, which is, you know, very, very shocking considering they're one of the best lines in hockey. So the Blues have done a really good job at limiting them, but if the Bruins have any chance of winning two in a row, they're going to need to get those guys going.
You mentioned Bergeron, and like I said, I'm not an expert on hockey, but as I've listened to the games, he's come in for a lot of criticism for not performing in this series. Is he banged up at all? Is he just not able to get into his normal groove? What are kind of the identifiers as to what the problem is with those top six guys?
Yeah, I think that Bergeron and Marchand are both banged up, and you know, they're out there and they're playing, so they got to produce. And so I think that injuries are part of it, but also, you know, the Blues have done a really, really great job of limiting that production, and you got to give credit to Colton Parayko and Jay Bouwmeester, who are getting the majority of minutes against those guys. They're doing a really good job at limiting their production, and you know, honestly, they've looked like they've looked pretty poor over the past couple of games. They were the three worst forwards on the ice for the Bruins in Game 5, and that just can't happen. And you know, the Bruins rely on them so heavily, and they just haven't been able to get it done. Every game that the Bruins have won in this series has come from special teams and from depth, and so they need those top guys to step up if they want to lift the cup.
Speaking with Pete Blackburn, CBSSports.com, Tuukka Rask, a fantastic goalkeeper. He's been doing it for so long now. Most people know exactly who he is. But when you're in a game, you mentioned you got to score more goals tonight. And when you're in those 2-1 games, he's doing a really good job. But if your offense can't get going, it makes it tougher on you, and it dials up the pressure a little bit, because every single shot is the difference between winning and losing right now.
Right, and it's frustrating because Tuukka Rask coming into these playoffs, one of the biggest criticisms around him was that he's not a big game player and he can't get it done in the playoffs and he'll never win a Stanley Cup with them. And that was always a stupid take, but I mean it's shown based off of how well he's played in these playoffs. And you know, he's had a really good Cup final, and he deserves to win a Cup. but, you know, unfortunately his teammates haven't been picking him up. They haven't been scoring for him. So, you know, he's been really, really good in elimination games, especially over the past couple of rounds. He's saved 81 of 81 over the past couple of rounds in those elimination games. So they're going to need him to be great in Game 6. And then, you know, if things work out, the Game 7 as well. But there's not a lot of reason to believe that he can't be up to the task.
All right, Game 6 tonight between the Bruins and Blues. You can see it on the NBC affiliate in town, Channel 41, 41 Action News. You can catch it there. So just kind of broad strokes for me, the keys to the game you're going to look for tonight for both. You gave me the Bruins keys, you throw in St. Louis as well, but things you're looking for to unfold tonight in Game 6.
Well, again, it starts with the top line for the Bruins. They need to get going. And so, you know, if you're the Blues, it's kind of just stick with your game and try to limit those guys and get the matchups that you want. And I think they'll be able to do that, especially on home ice. But the Bruins need a breakthrough, and they need one desperately. And so I'll be watching those guys to see if they you know, step up and get some production. But, you know, if you're the Blues, kind of just stick into your game because it's obviously worked. And I think that if they continue to grind down the Bruins, they'll have a good shot to close it out tonight at home.
I was having a discussion with somebody earlier this week. I can't remember who it is, but I'll just kind of bounce this off of you. This is just a generic question about hockey in general. That kind of repeated myself. The generically in general. Okay. Got to put my sentences together better than that. But we were talking about sports and, you know, hockey being a better sport to watch in person than on TV. But having said that, how much has the advent of HD television benefited the hockey? And is hockey the sport that has benefited the most by HD? Because it looks terrific. And you know, but pre-HD, it didn't look all that great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a sport that's been helped by high definition. I mean, to go back and watch some of that old footage, it's kind of crazy. How do people even watch hockey? You can barely see the puck
on those standard
definition TVs. And so I think that's the reason why the glow puck briefly became a thing. But yeah, it's certainly a better sport to watch now than it was 20 years ago, that's for sure.
I did like the initial novelty of the glowing puck because I'm one of those people that when, you know, they're jamming away in front of the net, I just can't see it. And honest to God, hockey broadcasters might be the best of any sport because I just can't see the puck sometimes, and they never miss a call. I mean, Doc Emmerich's the best, obviously, but I just can't see it, and they don't miss a trick.
Right, yeah, I know. It's insane to think of how good those guys are. And Doc Emmerich is the gold standard. I mean, he's so good. It's such a difficult game to call play-by-play, especially on the radio as well. I mean, I don't understand how any of these guys do it on the radio because, you know, to paint a picture of what's going on at that high speed is crazy.
You like Kenny Albert, too?
Yeah, Kenny Albert's great. I think that, you know, for the most part, NBC's play-by-play guys are really, really solid.
All right, two final things for you. One, you mentioned that about Kansas City and maybe getting a team. Paul McGannon's our good friend. He's run a group for many years called NHL 21, and they've lobbied to get a team. We had a brief dalliance with the Nashville Predators many years ago, but their owner at the time, I believe his name was Boots Del Baggio. He got in all kinds of financial trouble and went to prison, so that kind of fell apart. Mario Lemieux dangled the Penguins in front of us at one time many years ago when they were trying to get a new arena. But if you could do me a favor, on CBSSports.com, just write a nice little story about how great Sprint Center is in downtown Kansas City and what a great spot it would be for the NHL to either move a team or expand. We'd love that.
I'll do that for you. Absolutely.
I'm being facetious, but Paul McGannon don't want me to say that. All right, final prediction for tonight's Game 6, Pete.
I think the Bruins get it done, and I think they force a Game 7. I'll say 3-1 Bruins, and we'll have a Game 7 later on next week.
More hockey, the better for you, right?
Absolutely, especially with the Bruins coming back home.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great.
Fantastic. Hey, Pete, first time we've had you on the show. I appreciate it very much. Like I said, I'm not a hockey expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I enjoy watching it and love talking about it to people who actually know what they're doing, Pete.
Yeah, I like to think that I pretend well enough to know what I'm doing. So, well, thank you for having me, for sure.
Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and enjoy Game 6 tonight.
Will do. Thank
you. All right. That is Pete Blackburn, CBSSports.com, talking about the Stanley Cup final, not plural, Game 6 tonight in St.
Yes.
Louis. And like I said, I saw the photo on Twitter of downtown St. Louis. They got the big video screens. They want people packed outside the arena, much like the the Raptors have done with Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's I think called Ballpark Village.
Yeah,
right by where Busch Stadium is and everything. It looks like it's been a rockin' time during the NHL playoffs. And a guy who is kind of newer to hockey in terms of watching it more and trying to get more invested in it, especially since it seems consistently that the NHL playoffs, from an entertainment standard and how dramatic the series are, it seems like any series can go 6 or 7 games comparative to maybe Major League Baseball or the NBA Finals with their formats and being very similar. So I've really enjoyed these playoffs and the physicality.
It
started with Bruins Columbus Blue Jackets, where I really started to see, oh man, the physicality and the amount of hits per game in terms of, you know, when they log the stat for hits, it has been phenomenal. And in this series as well, just how fast they are flying on the skates and just no regards for their own bodies,
right,
just throwing themselves at people. It's been really fun to watch. And I really, even if you're not a huge hockey fan, I'd really suggest maybe, you know, spending some time tonight watching the game, because it is really fun.
Yeah, taking a Mavericks game, you know. I saw that hit chart that you were talking about and for the whole series. And look, like I said, not a hockey expert, but we all enjoy big hits, I think. And in the five games so far, St. Louis has increased their hits every game. It started off like a 23, then it was 27, then it was 28, then like 32 and 34. Just kept ratcheting up the number, and they are physically beating the Bruins. It just like what Pete was talking about in that Shark series. I was watching that because I'm kind of a Sharks fan. They beat the Sharks up. In a boxing term, they knocked them out.
And both these teams before the Stanley Cup final, a lot of what the analysis was, these teams have a very similar style of play, very physical, grind you down kind of style. And it was just who was going to be deep enough to persevere in the series and who was going to be the less battered team throughout the series. And it's been pretty even to this point, and let's see. Maybe there'll be more hockey. Maybe there won't. Maybe St. Louis will be celebrating a Stanley Cup for the first time ever tonight.
Well, I would love to be over there for it, at least outside, because I can't afford a ticket to a Blues game, especially a playoff game, especially a Stanley Cup final game. But that'd be fun to be over there. Look, I'm a Kansas City guy. I'm not praising St. Louis, but I think it would be a good time. Our family has cousins over there, and I think it would be an absolute blast, especially since they've never won, and they haven't been there. They haven't even been there since 1970. So St. Louis
did play the Bruins.
Yes, yes, and they got swept, right? I think so. St. Louis will be having some fun tonight, and Michael Garozzo, I'm sure, is going to be watching the game tonight. Absolutely, Michael, if you're listening, we will take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll finish up the final 30 minutes of the show. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That music means it's time for Bolig Bites here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
Get after it.
All right.
We're going to have some fun today, Brad.
Yeah. Chris, take it away.
We have some great Bolig Bites, great sound from the week in sports. Some hard-hitting stuff as we gear up for a lot of these final days of the NBA season and NHL season. We'll start with one Shaquille O'Neal. People wanted to catch up with him and see, you know, they haven't had their broadcast because it's all been on ESPN and ESPN affiliate with ABC. So let's see what Shaq had to say with the antics of Drake from these finals.
Hey, Drake is Drake. Think about it. The practice facility is named after him. So what's the difference between him and Steve Ballmer? What they do? He's just having fun, having a good time. And again, as a guy sitting there watching on TV, it's very entertaining. But Drake is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. It's called marketing, people.
So Shaq knows what Drake is doing. He knows that this is just a ploy to he's living inside of all of the Warriors players' heads
yeah.
through this whole thing. And he does have a very close relationship with the Raptors and their organization. Granted, I don't know how I feel about Drake because he seems like he has a favorite team every week, like a
it
different
changes.
Team. It changes.
Isn't he a Kentucky basketball fan or something?
He's a huge Coach Cal guy. Huge.
Well, here's the thing. Shaq's right. This is great marketing. This is great PR. I would be curious to see what the music downloads are for Drake music since the beginning of the NBA Finals or even the last two rounds of the playoffs. I'll bet his downloads have increased because people who either have never downloaded it before, maybe had him out of sight, out of mind. Oh, Drake, I like his music. I don't have this track.
I mean, in popular music, he's always kind of been there for at least the past, I would say, 8 to 10 years. He's kind of been around, and you know, he was a star on the famous, I guess, teen show Degrassi, which was big when I was little and growing up. But Drake, I just think he's kind of a poser, low-key. Yeah. So I'm over his antics. Even though I do want Toronto to win. I'm ready for the Warriors the ship has sailed and ready for a new team to, you know, take its reins. And I do like Kawhi Leonard a lot. I think he's a fun player to watch.
Spike Lee is the king of courtside trolling, and Drake is not at that level.
Yeah, he's not. No. Absolutely not. Reggie Miller, Spike Lee, that was all time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even alive, but I watched the whole, you know, documentary about it. And
Reggie Miller made the choke sign.
Yeah, and other gestures that will not be said. But you know what it is if you watch NBA. So we'll keep it kind of in the... I guess it is kind of pertains to the playoffs with all the beer chugging from quarterbacks and other NFL players, whether it be at the Stanley Cup or if it is at the NBA playoffs. Aaron Rodgers needs to defend his honor for how poorly he chugged his beer at the Bucks game. But here's what he had to say about that whole thing.
The chugging attempt at the Bucks game, would you like to defend yourself at all? Just considering all the other guys have now stepped up and tried doing theirs as well.
Well, I think we got the desired effect, exactly how Dave wanted it, just more attention for him. And the big guys, you know, they don't get a lot of credit from time to time. And you know, there's some abilities, innate abilities that people just have. And he's got it, and I'm really proud of him. I kind of said what I said. You know, if you want to go scotch, I feel pretty good about it. As far as those other guys, you know, for some of them, there's finally a talent where they can, you know, they can say they're better than me at.
Do you believe that George Hill could beat David in chugging because he said he's better than him?
I think we need to be smart about the example we're setting for kids. There's a lot of kids watching. If we're going to start highlighting and glorifying binge drinking, you know, we need to be very careful about that slippery slope.
Very, very kind of, I would say, facetious comments.
He was throwing some shade.
Oh, absolutely. If you know anything about Aaron Rodgers, he won't back down, and he's very dry and sarcastic in his humor and nature. And with the binge drinking comments, I don't think he was being serious about that at the end. But I think Aaron Rodgers, whenever he steps on the field, he thinks he is, like he should, that he is the best quarterback on the field.
It's like that comment, you have to answer for yourself. These other guys are doing it better. And he goes, well, then that's the one thing they're better than me at.
Because I think there was a video of, it was Matthew Stafford at, game, but in a bar, chugging like a huge, like I think it was like a tall draft. And on the field, Stafford does not quite compared to one Aaron Rodgers.
No.
And I'm pretty pumped for when Aaron Rodgers comes to Arrowhead this season. That's going to be a very, very fun matchup for all Chiefs and Packers fans. That's going to be – whenever Chiefs and Packers go up, it just kind of brings, you know, nostalgia of, like, the colors of the – you know, with the Super Bowl I and all of the history from both of the franchises. It's going to be a fun matchup, especially with the quarterbacks being so talented.
Yeah. Old school versus new school.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun deal. We'll keep it with – we'll actually move it to the NBA. I don't know if you saw – you know, you've been keeping up. This was from one of the pregame shows, but it involves one former Kansas player, Paul Pierce, talking about an incident he had in the finals.
Today, wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I'm a confessional man.
Whoa.
I just had to go to the bathroom.
But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
Well, something went down. I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh,
you were streaking?
Okay, anywho. Injuries.
That's it.
The story of tonight. Real injuries, by the way.
So Paul Pierce had a Bobby Hurley moment, except he had to take a wheelchair, I guess, because he, I guess he let one slip a little bit, and a little brown on the white shorts.
Why would Paul Pierce ever admit to something like that on television?
Because he doesn't want people to remember him for being like,
injured?
I wouldn't say... he came back and he looked fine though, and
yes.
There was always a narrative. Oh, he was being just over dramatic because it was the finals, and he wasn't actually that hurt, but he had the hands in the face like dramatic effect. And he came back out and he had a great game after that. But I think he was getting the feeling that he was being remembered for being over dramatic and kind of falling into the. What a lot of people say in the NBA is, because we were talking about NHL, NBA, and the differences between how tough players are.
He's been retired for years.
That is just my thinking about the situation.
He has no reputation to defend or protect. If they thought he was flopping
Except
or exaggerating,
that,
that's fine. But now they're going to remember him for crapping his pants. Come on, Paul Pierce.
So would you rather be known for that or being kind of like not tough? Not tough.
I'm fine being thought of as not tough. I don't want to be known for crapping my pants.
But if you're a professional athlete, would you rather have that or being not tough?
I'll go with being not. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He has nothing to defend.
I think he also, with what we heard about earlier with him saying that he was hands down better than Dwayne Wade, or he had a better career than Dwayne Wade when that whole thing was happening. And
I'll have to look at the numbers. I don't know.
But remember when he said that and during the playoffs when Dwayne Wade was he retired and everything. So Paul Pierce is staying in the news. I don't know what you I don't think anything beats Inside the NBA. I'm not a huge fan of the ESPN pregame.
Not even close.
On TV.
Not even close. ESPN should make a handshake deal with TNT to use their guys on their show, but they're paying all these guys a lot of money. I guess you got to use them.
Got to use those guys. Yeah. All right, we keep it actually in the league. Here's what Kevin Love has to say about whether he thinks LeBron is going to make it back to the finals.
He definitely has to. The young guys have to get one more year under their belt. Got to do well in free agency and. Anytime LeBron, he just always brings a some excellence to him, so he'll be great.
Well, what about you? Are you open to leaving Cleveland? Or?
No, I'm saying I have four more years left in my contract. So.
I mean, when you Google Kevin Love, trade rumors pop up.
That'll never change.
That'll never change. Okay,
never
cool.
Change.
But you want to stay in Cleveland, or are you open to maybe coming to LA and playing with LeBron again?
Yeah, I love LA too, but no, Cleveland it is. Cleveland right now, baby.
I love how he clears his throat right about as he's about to answer that question about would he be open to coming back to play with LeBron. I don't know if that's I liked playing with LeBron, but all this turmoil, I don't know. I think I'm okay just making my money in Cleveland. I have my ring. I'm good.
You can live a pretty decent life in Cleveland making a ton of money and not be in the circus that is L.A. and the current – well, not that the Cavaliers aren't a disaster, but the Lakers are a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dan Gilbert's a very good owner, and I think he's kind of shown that once they've lost LeBron. But I saved the last two for last because I think these are the two best ones we have of the day. I don't know if you heard about the Tom Brady whole saga with the Tom Terrific thing.
He's trying to steal it.
Yeah, from Tom Seaver. And here's what he had to say about the whole situation.
I did. It's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I didn't like the nickname, and I wanted to make sure no one used it because some people wanted to use it. So I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it was. So
100%.
Good lesson learned, and try to do things a little different in the future.
So you did that four times for Tom Seaver's memory. And not for Tom Brady.
Well, I didn't want people associating me with that because that was something that I didn't want you know, to have happen. So I don't like the nickname. I don't like when people probably give me many nice compliments. Certainly that. It wasn't something I was trying to do out of any disrespect or ill manner or anything like that.
So no plans to use any merchandise or anything?
I hope not.
So that was him talking about how the he trademarked the name so no one else would, or he trademarked the name, but he's not going to use it. That's what he's saying. He's trying to save it for the honor of, which I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Why haven't the Mets copyrighted that by now for Tom Seaver?
I don't know. They probably didn't think that anybody was going to. I've never seen someone try to.
Believe me, that things are calculated in Tom Brady's world. He wasn't trademarking Tom Terrific because I want to make sure nobody can use it out of respect for Tom Seaver. That's crap. Tom Brady and his crew of people do not do anything by accident. This was cold and calculated, and that.
Well, you even saw it with the comments. Like, I was just trying to do, like.
Oh,
why, then
BS.
Why would you try to trademark it?
That's
then?
BS.
Then why would you trademark the nickname? Give me that, like, what is your reasoning?
So nobody would use it for anything, to make sure that his name wasn't attached to it. Your name's attached to it!
This is a recency bias, because no one, when you think of a Tom in professional sports, who is the first person, you think of Tom Brady, at least in today's, you know,
Tom
landscape.
Tom Poquette, former Royals third baseman, now Major League coach and manager. Tom Poquette. I'm kidding. Thomas, you know what? Tom Brady, when these little mini, it's not even a controversy.
And he has
it's a little
cool,
mini thing.
You know, has this cool
no,
little talk.
It's not
you
cool.
Know?
It's cynical. He is cynical. And he's also full of crap. This is calculated. There are reasons that he doesn't make a move without anything being approved and calculated. Tom Brady is full of crap. Paul Pierce, talk to Tom Brady.
Both Boston Bostonites.
They're
not Bostonites, but played in Boston.
One crapped his pants and one is full of it.
Yeah, there we go. And the last one of the day comes from one Pete Rose Mike Francesa's show. So two just gems. Talking about a tour he had with Joe DiMaggio.
You went on a tour with DiMaggio.
I won't talk about it, don't worry.
Listen. Well, you know, the old saying.
He was the best, by the way.
When Marilyn Monroe was asked about Sinatra, she said he's no DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah.
And you can explain why.
Yeah.
Because you gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Yeah, I did.
Tell people how you gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Well, no. We're can I do the whole story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle.
He went to Vietnam with Joe DiMaggio on a tour.
Yeah, 23 days I lived with Joe. Right. And it's so hot you can't sleep, and all of a sudden Joe says, I got to take a shower. I said, Joe, we're not downtown Saigon. We're in the damn middle of the jungle. He said, I don't give a darn. I'm Joe DiMaggio. I got to take a shower. So the only way he could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water, pour it into this canvas
pour it
thing,
over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a with a man hanging from it. You're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike. You know how we call them thongs today?
I understand.
And when
endowed.
I played, they
that
called them shar shoes.
I understand.
Joe wore three of them.
I understand. Okay. So yes.
Let me tell you something. That guy was the greatest.
So I guess Joe DiMaggio was not only jolting Joe on the field, but, packing some heat below the waist. I guess according to one Pete Rose, as we had to, I wasn't sure with FCC regulations. I just wanted to bleep that part out because I was unsure.
That's you know what? For all the folks on the way to mass or services today, or on the way home, that was probably an awesome story.
That was I thought it was hilarious. That was awesome from Pete Rose. That was so funny. Oh, my
it
Lord.
It doesn't surprise me that a story like that was told on Mike Francesa's show because he is so horrible. I don't know what New Yorkers – I don't know why New Yorkers are drawn to him. There was a funny clip. You see clips every day about something stupid.
On Funhouse. If you go onto the Fun – there's an account on Funhouse that literally follows everything he says that's hilarious.
He had one this week. I don't know if somebody called in and says, what do you think about Klay Thompson of the Warriors? What do you think about the Warriors? Well, Well, I think Klay Thompson is a good young player, and he'll have a bright future in this league. He's a good young player. I can't do Francesa. I'm like, you obviously don't know anything you're talking about. So in the past three sound bites, we've had Paul Pierce, who crapped his pants. We had Tom Brady, who's full of crap. And we have Mike Francesa, who's a crappy broadcaster.
Well, and Pete Rose talking about giving DiMaggio
yeah,
a
I'm
shower.
Not going, I'm not.
What about that?
No.
Yo, no more comments.
I could have gone the rest
of
my life without hearing that story.
I think the public wanted to hear that. I think the general public wanted to hear about Pete Rose giving Joe DiMaggio.
Pete Rose has a strange idea of what makes for a good story. He probably has 1,000 stories better than that about the time he telling me he bet on the Reds or bet against them.
Well, that's like when Lenny Dykstra was talking about Daryl Strawberry.
No. Lenny Dykstra.
Dykstra.
I don't know what's happened to Lenny Dykstra. Is he still in prison?
I don't know what Lenny Dykstra is doing, but I'm sure he's living not his best life right now.
No, I think his house got repossessed, all his cars.
I thought he came out with a book or something.
He did, but he had an investment scam.
Like a Ponzi scheme or something like that?
Something like that. And then he had these car wash plate. I don't know. I'm not going to go into it. I don't care about Lenny Dykstra, and neither does anybody else.
Yeah.
So. On that note, we will take it. That's a hell of a way to end.
Pete Rose, baby.
Way to close it. We will take a timeout and wrap up hour number three as we head towards baseball tonight at noon. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I always try to wait for the song to get rolling, but this song takes so long to get rolling.
Oh, it takes a long time.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
It is long, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, so. No, I love the song. It just you got to wait forever to get to it. They could have made this part about 30 seconds shorter.
No, I got to keep it. Yeah. Keep it long.
I can criticize The Who. I'm qualified to do that. Back for the final few minutes, Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Coming up at noon, we have baseball tonight. We'll get you ready for the Royals and White Sox, the rubber match of the series. 1:15 first pitch out at Kauffman Stadium. It's supposed to be a nice day today. It will be Reynaldo Lopez on the hill for the White Sox and Glenn Sparkman on the hill for the Royals. We only have about 3 minutes left here, so I just wanted to get this in. I kind of said something at the top of the show, but I couldn't get everything in. The NCAA Track and Field National Championships has been going on this week down in Texas, down in Austin, I believe. It's been boiling hot down there.
Hey, that's a great place, though. Love Austin.
I've never been to Austin. But Kansas City kids who went to high school here in Kansas City did very well at the NCAA National Championships and just wanted to give them a little recognition. Chris Nilsson from Park Hill High School, competing for, I believe, South Dakota State, won his second straight pole vault national championship. I mean, they were getting close to 20 feet. I don't know anything about pole vaulting.
Get after it.
But, I mean, it was over 19 feet. It was close to 20 feet.
It looks pretty scary.
I would not do it.
Because you're like 24 feet up in the air.
Yeah, I would not do it.
So.
But Chris Nilsson, graduate of Park Hill High School, congratulations on your national championship. Raytown South grad Quincy Hall, who now attends South Carolina, won the men's 400-meter hurdles. He beat Texas Tech's Nelson Grimes by 0.23 seconds. That's tight. And the big one yesterday, which was just awesome, I was texting back and forth with my friend Kenitra Pulliams, who's been on the show before, worked together in television. Grandview High School grad Angie Anelius, running for USC, won the women's 200 meters with a lean at the wire. And if you have not seen the video, just search NCAA track and field or women's 200 meters or whatever and look at it. It's so close, you cannot, with the naked eye, you cannot see who won the race. It was that close. So Angie Anelius, two-time national champion in the women's 200 meter at the NCAA National Championship. So our Kansas City kids did very, very well. It was fun.
That's good to hear.
My oldest, he runs track right now. He's going to be a sophomore at Rockhurst. And he's like, can we watch the NCAA track and field championship? I said, sure. And I was like, wait a minute. We got a bunch of Kansas City kids in this thing. That's awesome. Loved it.
Yeah, I haven't really watched too many, except for the Olympics. I don't really watch track.
No, I don't watch it on a regular basis. But NCAA championships.
I ran track in high school.
Good
but
stuff.
But, yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. And as I mentioned early in the show, the Kansas City Star out today with their Scholar Athletes of the Year Awards. They pick one boy and one girl as the primary winners, and then they have a student from every school that you can find. It's one of the best editions of the paper all year. But they recognized the top boys scholar athlete is Alex Tata from Blue Valley, and he's going to be going to the Naval Academy. Said he has a commitment to his country.
Naval Academy, that's awesome.
That's huge. You never have to. You go to the top of the pile at any job application if you decide. After you complete your commitment, you want to go into the workforce, you're guaranteed a job. And the girls' winner, Alana Vauter. I hope I'm saying that right. V-A-W-T-E-R. Alana Vauter from Staley High School. Kansas City Star Scholar Athlete for the girls' side. And again, they have somebody from every high school in the metro area in the newspaper. So go pick a copy of that up and recognize all the kids that put in the hard work over so many years.
It's not easy. Being a student athlete is...
No.
Not only in high school, but college. Like, yep. When I went to college and seeing all of the, you know, people go into class, then go into workout,
yep.
Two-a-days and whatnot, that's not an easy task.
Nope. All right, we're just about out of time. Baseball tonight is next. Thank our guests, Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, and Pete Blackburn from CBSSports.com. Thanks to Chris Bohlig. My name is Brad Porter. We're going to step away for, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, and we're going to come back and talk Royals baseball tonight. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.